positions of leadership. And it's really, it could be directed to that in the message tonight. I'm not pointing my finger at anybody, because if I do, always remember, if you point your finger at one person, what are you doing? You're pointing three at yourself. One at one person, three at yourself. I spoke this morning about the influence of Abram's mistake on the life of Lot and the absolute chaos that came as a result. I want to show you the influence of the life of Aaron on his two sons. Here were people in leadership. I find it very fascinating to search the scriptures and tie things together and then be amazed at what you find. So let's look quite simply at this. Begin with me first in Exodus 25. Exodus 25, notice please God's first thought for a redeemed people. I always find this fascinating because God is consistent. And here in Exodus 25, the people have been redeemed out of Egypt, and here they are, a bunch of very unlovely, smelly, nasty people. They've never learned very much yet. They're ex-slaves, and there's murmurers, and there's complainers, and grousers, and grumblers. And it always fascinates me to find in Exodus 25 that God said unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering." And it says, verse 8, "Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." They're the last people I would ever want to dwell among, that mob that came out of Egypt. They were unlovely, ungracious, untaught, unmannered. And yet God's first thought was to dwell in their midst. Fascinating. That's when you get saved, you know, just the same idea. Some of us, when we get saved, are very unlovely, very smelly and unsavory. And God, I wouldn't be surprised if God says, "Now, when you've got yourself cleared up and cleaned up, I'll come and I'll indwell you by my Holy Spirit." And I meet people who say, "Well, I'm not good enough to get saved yet." As if you have to reach a point of moral excellence, and then God says, "Well, no, two more weeks and I'll come along," and something like that. But it doesn't matter who you are. You can be just a shower of failure. But when you turn to Christ, he comes to indwell you by his Holy Spirit. It's God is so consistent. And here you have the very thing here. And as you know, going on from here, you have all the details of the what we call the tabernacle. Have they had teaching on the tabernacle yet, Ron?
Yes,
they have. Oh, so it'll all tie up then. You know, all the details of the tabernacle, all the great things that God did, and how God gave guidance and plans for the dress that the men would wear. I want to draw your attention to chapter 39 of this same book. Thought just came to me today as I was thinking of this. Aaron had some marvelous robes to wear. Some of you ladies would have enjoyed wearing some of the clothes. He had bells on the bottom of his garments. Tremendous. Must have sounded beautiful. But I'm thinking especially of verse 30. "They made a plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and they wrote upon it a writing like to the engravings of a signet, Holiness to the Lord. And they tied onto it a lace of blue to fasten it on high upon the mitre, as the Lord commanded Moses." And when Aaron was dressed in his priestly garments, above all else, there was a gold plate, shining gold plate, with the words, "Holiness to the Lord." And everybody who saw Aaron, the first thing you saw when you looked at Aaron was, "Holiness to the Lord, holiness to the Lord." And I mentioned the thought of holiness this morning, you remember. I mentioned that my Bible is called a Holy Bible, but some of you haven't got a Holy Bible. You've got a Revised Standard or a New American Standard or a Living Bible. Mine's a Holy Bible. Even the idea of holiness is getting away from this type of thing. And what struck me was that the only person who didn't see it was Aaron. He was the fellow who wore it, and everybody saw it but him. Interesting thought, isn't it? Now, having established that idea, look in chapter 40 of Exodus, and you find that in verse 17, It said it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was reared up. And if you look back to Exodus 25, you needn't look there. It was in the third month that God gave the order, and the thing was erected in the first month of the second year. So it took them 9 months to construct all the parts of the tabernacle and make these beautiful robes and their garments. So look with me now in Leviticus and chapter 8. And here you have the thing being put into operation. You know, it must have been a tremendous day in the life of Moses and Aaron, everybody else too, when the temple or the tabernacle was erected, and when they came to use it for the first time, when Aaron put on these, he'd never worn these robes before, and his sons hadn't worn their priestly garments, and Aaron put on this garment with bells that rang when he moved, and Moses got this helm, this turban on his head, and this gold plate, and the breastplate that he had. Must have been a scary thing to wear robes like that for the first time. He was a father and four sons, all dressed up in these priestly robes. And in Leviticus chapter 8, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and so on. Gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. This was the first time they'd ever used this tabernacle. Verse 9, and he put the mitre upon his head. Also upon the mitre, even upon his forefront, did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And so for the first time, Aaron wore that gold plate, holiness unto God. Verse 13, Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats on them and girded them with girdles and put bonnets on them as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 30, Moses took the anointing oil and the blood which was upon the altar and sprinkled it upon Aaron. Doesn't this seem a shame? Had these beautiful spotless white garments with gold on them and all this, and Moses just put oil and blood all over them. Oil, anointing oil and blood over them. They were stained. Before ever the worship began, the white garments were stained with blood and with oil. Fascinating thoughts as you dig into this like this. And verse 31, Moses said unto Aaron and his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and there eat it with the bread that is in the basket of consecrations, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. Verse 33, ye shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in 7 days, until the days of your consecration be at an end. For 7 days shall he consecrate you. As he hath done this day, so the Lord hath commanded to do, to make an atonement for you. Therefore shall ye abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night 7 days, and keep the charge of the Lord that ye die not, for so I am commanded. So Aaron and his sons did all things which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And so these five stayed in the tabernacle. And all the rest of the people carried on. And they waited, because chapter 9 says, it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons. And Aaron was now going to make the first really proper burnt offering. He'd been taught how to do it. They'd all learned their parts. They'd gone through the instructions that God had given Moses. They'd learned exactly who did what and how to do it. You can read all the instructions given there. They knew exactly what to do. And now here was a first performance, no, a first act of worship. And so they all gathered together. Verse 4, also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil, for today the Lord will appear unto you. Verse 6, Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, for the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And so everybody was geared up. If they did it right, the glory of the Lord would suddenly appear in their midst. It must have been really exciting in days like this. Verse 22, they've done it all, and Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation, came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. This was the ultimate moment of revelation. How exciting. The glory of the Lord. The whole place ablaze with glorious light. And a fire comes down and all the offering is consumed. And all the people are flat on their faces, worshiping God. And then you wouldn't believe what happened next. This is the first time ever they have made an offering to God. And there's Aaron with this golden plate. Wherever he goes, the light would be reflected off this golden plate. Holiness, 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 holiness. Chapter 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. What a super anticlimax. All this marvelous demonstration of holiness and glory and majesty. And these two stupid men, young men, suddenly did their own thing. They got incense that they shouldn't do, and they started offering what they shouldn't do, completely against all that God had said. They broke all of God's word. And God struck them dead. Right there. You think what it must have been like for Aaron and the two other brothers to see these two brothers fall down dead, burnt alive. And all the people watching. Verse 3. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is it the Lord commanded, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh unto me. And before all the people, I will be glorified. So what I told you, holiness unto God, my priests, my leaders, my people, those who serve me, there must be holiness unto the Lord. And Aaron held his peace. Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from out of the sanctuary, out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. Moses said unto Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, only two sons left. Aaron lost half his family, like that, in the holy place. And if you look later on in Numbers 3, 4, you'll find that these two young men had no children. So their families were wiped out. God doesn't pull any punches. Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your garments, lest you die, lest wrath come upon all the people. And then you ask, why did these two young men do this? Why were they so crazy, so stupid? I mean, here they are, the first time that God's tabernacle was ever used for worship. And two of the priests are struck dead. I find verses 8 and 9 and 10 very significant. There and then the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine, nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. And I can read there that these two young men were drunk. Strange. Why should they be drunk? Why? Well, I said this morning, you're influencing somebody somewhere, sometime. Abram influenced Lot to Lot's destruction. Now, please note, I'm going to trace back with you now the influence of Aaron on these two sons. These two sons did what they did. They must have been drunk, otherwise they would never have done such a stupid thing. Look back with me in Exodus 32. It's a chapter that you know, but it's worth reading. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what's become of him. And Aaron, the same Aaron, same man who had all these beautiful garments, with holiness to the Lord, Aaron said, Break off your golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. All the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. He received them of their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. They said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation, and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. And Aaron, this one, he hasn't yet worn his holy garments, as we know, but they're ready for him. And he's God's chosen high priest. And here he is involved in all this nonsense here. And of course, the Lord sent Moses down. Verse 15, Moses turned and went down from the mountain. The two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both the sides. On the one side, on the other side, they were written. The tables were the work of God. The writing was a writing of God, graven with tables. And when Joshua, who was with Moses, heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. Moses said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. It came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. He took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? Listen to these stupid words of Aaron. Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what's become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. How stupid can you be? I put the gold in, and the calf came out. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto the shame among their enemies. They were drunk, having a sexual orgy, and the man who had instituted it was Aaron. And Nadab and Abihu were standing by and watching their dad have a rare old time. And they saw their father, they knew he was going to be the chief priest, and that was the way he was doing it. But the interesting thing is this. Go back with me to chapter 24 of the book of Exodus. This is God starting before we began reading 25, where God initiated the plan of the sanctuary. Now we have in chapter 24, God said unto Moses, Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And so we know Moses was now going to have the words of the law from the hand of God. Verse 12, the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and the law and commandment which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. Moses said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us, until we come again to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And you find that Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, the two men who died, were with their father Aaron, and they went on the holy mount, the holy mount, and Moses said to Aaron, now you wait there till I come back. Wait in the presence of holiness. 40 days and 40 nights, soak your soul in the holiness of God. That was God's command. You wait here. But they didn't. He got tired of the holiness of God. He went back to the people. You see, if Aaron had stayed where he was told to stay, the golden calf incident would never have happened. Did you realize that? If he'd stayed where God told him, expose your soul to the holiness of God. Just there, just be there. And somehow imbibe into your soul holiness. Then Moses will come down with the tablets. Then you can go with Moses. You can be backup men to Moses. Moses, who's been in my presence, will go with the tablets, and you'll go behind him, and your souls will be soaked in holiness, and you can go with holiness unto the people. But when Moses came down with the tablets,
where's
Aaron? Gone. When he got to the camp, instead of holiness, there was unholiness. The absolute antithesis of what it should have been. Aaron was supposed to come down backup man to Moses to present the holiness of God. And when Moses saw it, he broke the commandments so that the law could never be brought against these people. If he'd allowed those commandments to stay unbroken, they'd have all died. And so he comes down, and there's Aaron. Absolutely unholy. The people boozed up and drunken and naked in a sexual orgy. And as we saw, Moses said to him, what did this people unto thee? What have these people done to you that you should do this to them? You're God's leader. You're God's holy man. You're going to wear a golden plate, holiness unto the Lord. But the point, you see, I'm making is this, that the influence of one life on another. Aaron had four sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and the other men. Nadab and Abihu went up. Eleazar and his brother didn't go up. Nadab and Abihu went up. They were exposed to initial holiness with their father. But when their dad came down, they came down. And they saw their father turn his back on the holiness of God and willingly move into the filth of unholiness, all involved with drunkenness. It doesn't excuse them, I know. But you see, as we where we got to in Leviticus chapter 10, these young men take part in this wonderful service, and in the 7 days they've been waiting there, they must have been drinking. There's no other explanation as to how people who had been taught the Word of God, and on this first, especially the first time when it must be word perfect, Everything is done marvelously. The glory of God is seen. The fire comes down. And then these two stupid young men just do their own thing. And God has no recourse but to strike them dead. Like that. And to remind Aaron, no drink, no intoxicating liquor with priests. Interesting point that, you know, because if you look with me, for example, in a scripture you know very well, if you look in 1 Corinthians and chapter 6, you have these words. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Something saying to me that a Christian should be away from liquor and intoxicating drink at all times. Otherwise, you're going to bring liquor into the temple of God. And I somehow put that alongside. I haven't thought this through. It's just as I've been thinking this afternoon and meditating on these thoughts. This isn't worked out message. It's just thoughts in my mind. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. The verse you know very well, Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And this is God's guidance and God's leading for all his people. And I've shared with you from the Old Testament God's leading and guidance for leaders, people who hold positions of authority and are demonstrating God's holiness. Makes you think, doesn't it? I've been much convicted right throughout this summer with the sense of the holiness of God. I've been to places where you wouldn't know whether it was a football game or a church or a worship service. I remember one lady I led to the Lord years ago. She was a very ardent Catholic, really sincere Catholic, a lovely Catholic lady. And she came to the Lord. It's a lovely story, but the point was this. I met her several months afterwards, and she said, John, I don't know what to do. Said, John, when I went to the Catholic Church, I used the holy water, I crossed myself, I went in, I bowed to the altar, I knelt down, and I bowed my soul, and I waited for the priest to start the service. Absolute quiet. I worship God. John, I go to the local Baptist church and I walk in. I heard him shouting across the church, you see the game last night? Wasn't a good game? Wasn't that marvelous? And it struck me here was a person who'd moved in, who'd been saved and was moving into a Christian community. And the one thing she missed was the holiness of God. I find a great deal. I think the holiness of God is a bit too tough for a lot of Christians. They don't mind a God, but you know, a holy God is a bit too tough. And if we can just bring God a little way down, you know, have a happy God, one, no, swing along with Jesus business, that kind of thing, it'd be easier. But a holy God, you know, is a bit scary. Well, he's still the same God as he was in Aaron's day. And sometimes, especially when I go to our Bible schools at Capenry, sometimes I wish that the Holy Spirit would move amongst our students and just scare them, challenge them, let them see that God is a holy God and this is a holy Bible. Otherwise, you can be like Aaron, you see. Aaron got tired of being in the holiness of God, so he just went away and went down to the valley and lived it up. He was still God's man. That's the amazing thing. He was still God's high priest. and he wore his beautiful garments. And as his sons looked at him, all they saw was holiness unto the Lord. But they died. Isn't that a strange story? That's the first time they ever used the tabernacle for an act of worship. It began with the super climax of the glory of God shining and the fire of God coming down and people worshiping as never before. And then came this stupid anticlimax of two young men trying to do their own thing. Are you ever tempted to do your own thing when you worship God? Interesting, isn't it? I'm sure the Lord has something to say. That's why I said before, Ron, I hope the Lord isn't speaking to you. I'm sure he isn't. But he's speaking to me. And let's bow our heads. And let's close our eyes the way I left to finish. And let the Lord speak to you and to me with a sense of his holiness. I don't know what the Lord will say to you. I have no idea. But he has something personal to say. What a sad, miserable story. But the man to blame was Aaron. So 60 seconds of wonderful quietness from now. Forgive us, dear Lord, that some of us find holiness too high a target, and so we change it to happiness. And happiness is so easy because you can get along with anything. And yet you've never changed. Lord Jesus, you died on the cross, not because God was love, but because God was holy. You bore our sins in your own body on the tree. Lord, we think of the command that priests in their worship should never take intoxicating liquor. But whatever this means to us, may it mean something. And Lord, if you have a lesson to teach me, may I be ready to hear it. I pray, Lord, for even on these grounds, in spite of all the fun and the joy and the happiness and all this, Lord, may there be that distinctive mark of holiness. Well, this was the only difference there was. The only difference there is, really, between us and the world, is the holiness of God. Lord, men can produce everything. They can produce power. They can produce fun and happiness. But, Lord, they can't produce holiness. Holy, holy, holy. So thank you, blessed Lord, for the wonder of your word. May it bless our hearts. May it encourage us. May we realize, Lord Jesus, that you are our righteousness. Lord, I've so much enjoyed thinking of this today. All I have, Lord, is failure. But you are my righteousness. And when your Father sees me, I'm clothed in your righteousness. And therefore I'm holy in your holiness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and for what you've done. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're still holy and you always will be. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.